o'clock schedules.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay. 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Here with planning and development, and it's always nice. We get to see Kristen twice during this process, so. Yeah.
I close the door just because sometimes.
Yeah.
It's been really quiet in our office. We do have voters in there.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, no problem at all. Well.
So I'll turn it over to Ms. Harder, and we can get started. Probably with revenues, unless you have an opening statement.
I do.
Okay,
I'll
go
need
ahead.
I'll need the projector and the computer set up for my opening.
Okay. I can visualize.
Revenues. I'm looking at Lisa. I know what you have in front of you is end of November. Projecting to keep the same revenues.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that.
The only anomalies are other state grants, and that is the Squaw Creek Watershed. It'll be split this current fiscal year and next fiscal year. Building permits is the other anomaly. You know, looking at a three-year average, we're at 20-some thousand, if I recall correctly, and we're there right now with this current fiscal year. Or actually, if we're not there, we will be there by the end of this month with a couple of invoices we have pending for zoning permits. Those are wind turbine projects, though, that are coming through. Beyond that, you know, Rick, your questions?
Well, I think that needs to be 25,000. Building permits, I think, needs to be 25,000 just based on where we are right now and where we've been in the past. And the fact that all signs are pointing to more projects this next year rather than less.
Even depending on what phased approach of Cameron Farms is approved and comes through in one to several phases, they'll probably start construction next fiscal year. And we have Bella Woods to final out. There's half a dozen lots left there, and those are $800 permits roughly each. I just want to caution the board. I mean, I've said this before. You know that the revenues are highly dependent on the economy. We're
not suggesting that it is your responsibility to go out and generate building permits. We know that we are the order takers. So that said, I am completely comfortable if we take it to 25 and then don't get there, that I'll take the blame on that one, since I'm the one suggesting 25 is where we should be. But I just think if you look at the numbers, you can make the case really strongly that 25 is a reasonable expectation as we build this budget.
And right now, through December, you're at 20,145. So where should this year be? You just said there's a couple more sitting
out
there.
I would put it up to 30,000. I think that would be safe. And when we get to the budget amendment time, too, we'll have a good feeling of where we need to be. But again, it's a revenue, so.
And for FY15, I'm saying instead of 16,25, unless you guys feel like a different number is in order.
Well, anywhere between 22 and 25 is, so 25 sounds good, with the understanding that it may not be there. Yeah.
Okay. I have new glasses, and I can't.
Just get a little nauseous. Move the paper further away.
Apparently, I need bifocals really bad.
Yeah, move
I can paper. Go get my extra pair off my desk if you want me to, yeah.
And if I take these off, I won't be able to see your faces. So
are you going like this?
You're not missing
so I am.
We won't think you're rude if you don't look at us.
I'd get you a pearl chain for those glasses.
So will zoning and subdivision fees this year be higher than 6 because you're already at 3,900?
I don't think so. Again, the wild card on that one will be the Cameron Farms on how many finals they do that, and it's going to cross into next fiscal year on how many final subdivision plats they bring in. I think we're safe on the 6,000.
Have any more violations that you're going to be depositing? Because you got 4,058 there already.
Don't know.
We don't have any pending.
Yeah.
No pendings. Okay.
That was all I had on revenues.
Did you have anything else?
Nope.
Okay. What's our new total? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then expenditures starting on page 143.
Only question I had was down under vehicle fuel and maintenance, just an explanation a little bit. If you look at where you are currently right now, you're over, and is this due to specific things that probably won't need to be factored in next year that has been done?
We bought new tires this year.
Okay.
The tires that came with the RAV were not quality. That are required for county gravel inspection work. And then the proposed increase for next fiscal year, though, we're done with our 24,000-year, two-year maintenance plan. So we now have to pay for our own oil changes. And that was a nice two-year buffer with that new car, but that's over. So that's the minor increase.
How old is the RAV now?
It'll be 3 years old this summer. It's what?
Miles do you have on it?
Some thousand? Yeah. It's a pretty decent vehicle. We haven't really had too much other than the tires.
20,000 miles and we had to get new tires?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
On
gravel?
On a new Toyota.
On a new Toyota.
Driving a lot of gravel.
Sure. I mean, gravel, car tire type of standing, it was the gravel. And there's a lot of times it's not just gravel, it's very rough gravel that's not finished quality.
What did you anticipate? Approximately close to around 30 on the oil change. It'll vary a little bit, depends on what you've got, but it's an average. A lot of places will be between 2250, but they add on. And
for
so
the last oil change?
So I know the 1695 that the one place in Ames advertises is never 1695 when you go by the time you walk out of there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because it's a Toyota, too, it's a little bit pricier oil change, at least if
I was just going to suggest that you estimate close to around 30 on average, you probably are going to be okay based on the number of times. Are you going every 3,000 miles or five? Especially if you're using a lot of gravel road, dusty areas, it's probably a good idea.
Sometimes I think you guys just want to open your own auto body shop or something after.
Well, hey, I've gone through it.
I'll say,
I could go five on mine, but I automatically do it at three.
I relied heavily on Paul with the tires because I don't. The next line item, we have budgeted in items for the Squaw Creek to office supplies, items for Squaw Creek Watershed, and that would be then part of the reimbursement from the grant. And then CRS outreach materials. We get to the point that we, later in this year when we're, the calendar year, when we're getting to the point of having CRS, we'll have to do pamphlets and different type of outreach to be able to get the points for it. And totally estimating what that $600, even if it's done in-house, should cover color copying and paper and stuff.
Let's just make that one an even $6,000. I get that some of it's the watershed grant up in it, but if we can just go to a straight $6,000 there.
We go back up to extra help. What are your plans? Nothing right now. You just want to.
I'm going to bring an intern back, or a temporary intern from Iowa State. But we've been really trying to hold off to keep the – we had temporary help for so long with the scanning. Last year was such an interesting year with our projects. I don't think we had one that we could bring an intern in and have the time necessary to babysit him or her as well and do the project. Interns are a blessing in disguise sometimes, but they're also can be – burden too. I don't want to put it that way, but
and so like children, they're a lot of work.
I wouldn't say that.
Going to spend $5,000 this year.
I'm going to hold off till we get to the consulting discussion, contractual labor discussion, because One thing I've thought of is bringing them on board if we massage our work program a little bit and have them help with industrial land inventory and the economic development audit, have an intern help with that. So, yes, possibly. My goal, Lisa, though, or coming in, if you would have asked me that Monday, my answer would have been, no, I don't think we want to bring an intern in this spring. But as I was preparing for today, and then we've been working on our work program, assigning responsibilities, I think we need to tweak the work program and switch some things around. And I think to be able to accomplish that, it might be worth our time to bring an intern on.
I'd just add one thing, too, and I'm with you all the way through all that, Leanne. I would add the communication marketing plan strategies as something that could primarily be done by an intern and may actually be the easiest thing to do with an intern. Then you find somebody with that skill set who wants to get a little credit for helping us put something like that together. And so I'd like us to keep the $5,000 for this year and maybe go ahead and get started on that.
Okay. And that fits the spring time frame too.
Okay.
Actually, before what I meant to say before we began, this is not obviously approved yet, or the work program has been approved, but on staff we had a discussion a couple weeks ago before the holidays, I think. Yeah, to just flesh out some more details. What we'll be doing is discussing on staff again, but I think we need to amend some of the time frames. Bringing the economic development audit and the industrial land inventory earlier rather than later this year. So I have a draft format that I put in your places before the meeting, but that could help guide some discussions.
Well, now, to help me if I'm missing this. I viewed this as conversations between you and your staff and then individual conversations with us, because I see a couple items on here that you and I had talked about at some point. So.
But it gives you a particularly a plan in writing somewhere that you can go back and revisit and look at, you know, whether or not you have had that discussion with the appropriate people and so forth. So it's kind of good to kind of have that before you to look at and kind of analyze where you are. So
allocate our resources.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're good with that. That page.
I've got still postage mailing. I'd like to see that one at 1500.
Okay.
I mean, if that, we can.
We haven't gone over 1500.
We haven't gone over that. Mm-mm. Except one. Okay, no, we haven't.
Oh, I mean, the three-year average is 1,400. That's the one.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just think 1,500, you know, we plugged in 19. As I recall, we came down from like 2,400 to 1,900 last year. We're at 1,900. We're not going to get there this year. Let's go to 1,500. I think it's a realistic estimate.
We actually might get there this year.
Both is going up, but not much.
But
we need to go invest in forever stamps.
Forever stamps.
Don't we?
Is it over?
Yeah. January 1st. We talked about that staff, about doing that, and something that a conversation aside from here, we've always gone above and beyond notifying up to a quarter mile, state code only, especially when you get in the more rural or urban areas, that's where our mailings get larger, and it does get more time consuming too. And we would love to get to a point where we can just be emailing notices. But at this point, we don't have that technology. But
Wayne, get this whole broadband thing worked out first, and then we'll.
Well, but I think it's reasonable for you and your staff to work on something to bring the supervisors if we need to look at changing our policy from a quarter mile down closer to what the state requirement is. Simply, it's a cost issue as much as anything.
We're good at 1500 on that one.
I'm seeing a trend with our communication services line items there.
I think, that shift is that's a good sign.
Was it the wanted new phone system?
A lot of departments didn't like putting those
I know,
numbers.
Though.
Everybody put that number in, though. So
Barb did mention to me after the budgets were already prepared that it's not probably going to be as high as estimated.
They're kind of unsure of what some of the costs are going to be at this point.
Are strictly just the five, the main line, and then an extension for each of us is all we have. And I think, if I remember right, the 7248 is split, which is Kristen's line, between us and the health department. But we did away with the inspection hotline. We got rid of the phone line for the intern. So we've really made it a little bit more simple. The big one on this page is definitely the contractual labor.
You think?
Like I told Lisa when I prepared it too, I didn't have it in my final number.
Never in her number, but she had in her narrative. I'm like, wait a minute.
I said, but because I, you know, based on last year's direction, put in there for discussion, but I didn't.
So I made her put it in. I was mean. I have a calendar on my desk that explains what I am in no uncertain terms, just so you know.
We'll talk about it. Give us your overview, your crystal ball projection based on, you know, the figures that you've kind of put here.
Before we get to that, too, the equipment rental and maintenance is our copier.
Yeah.
We're meeting with James Chevalier later this afternoon to see if we can lower that cost.
Send his butt up.
Not sure.
We're in ongoing discussions about our latest.
It's been brought to our attention. Our lease is substantially more than the same copier that IT has, or printer that IT has. And we're paying substantially more a month than they are. And so Barb reached out to James and...
It's time.
How do we ever... I don't know. With all these different leases, though, how do you ever get to a point where...
Right.
But we need to get there. Because it's... Yeah.
When you lease a new one, come up and look at ours. Don't lease that one because it's a lemon.
Well, that's same with our machine, too. We have a lot of issues. Is there anything else on this page other than contractual labor? We'll save the biggie.
Office chair, you can't get an office chair for what? What we're buying office chairs for more to health? We're spending, what, $600, $800 bucks?
About $800.
Yeah, so stick it in there at $750.
About $750 a piece.
Yeah.
Just get, you're getting three of them for.
I put $1,000 in there. It's only for me.
Yeah.
I just put $1,000 in there because Lisa likes nice round numbers. And
yeah, just get four instead of three and pay for one of them out of.
Well, there's only one.
There's one.
No, there's three in Board of Health. Let's just, since that's in the same suite.
Half of yours?
That's not my discussion.
Yeah.
That's between you two.
Yeah.
Oh, $750?
Yeah, because Margaret is getting three new chairs. Okay.
Yeah.
And now, then will we have everybody down
there?
Everybody
in there will have a new chair.
All right. Same ones. I don't want to hear about, well, their chair reclines more than mine or whatever.
I think she's planning on getting the same ones.
Take that to $750, please.
Okay.
All right, let's go through the contractual.
On this one, this is, again, why I brought the work program up for your benefit, too. They're tied hand in hand. I'll start with the coordinated long-range plan, just called comp plan work. The budget was prepared before we had the comp plan audit finalized and brought to you all for discussion, too. So I think that initial number of 150, I'd definitely, if we want to go down the path of having a comp plan work completed out of house, so not managed by staff, that can be lowered substantially for this fiscal year, and then we have to look at it for next fiscal year, too, because it would be an 18-month project. The goals, there's like a five-step process we'd follow to do that. Start with goals, research, analysis, policy, then actually the implementation. Where we would primarily want the consultant is guiding the stakeholder participation so that staff, if we engage a consultant, staff's work can be on the analysis end. We have the GIS. We can do the numbers of population projections, all that goes into it. But there's not as much work done since we've completed the comp plan audit than initially thought when we first put this together. But my question I go back to, is it appropriate to put that in the Rural Services Fund too? And that's why I guess even irregardless of the amount, $150,000 or if it's $5,000, where that would be appropriate. But the amounts that I came up with for this fiscal year would only be, if we just the comp plan, would be 60,000. And that would help with the goals research, the stakeholder participation on that part. And then the analysis would be just done by staff internally, so no need for that. And then next fiscal year, we would look at another 40,000. So 60 and 40. So when I mean this fiscal year, I mean the one for which we're talking.
Well, unless I'm missing something, I think you raise a good question. When I think of comp plan, even though we have funded your program pretty much in the rural service area, I think this is more comprehensive. It's involving the entire, you know, it's more or less a global scope, particularly as we look at economic development and other types of things that are coming into play. And whether we want to talk about some type of percentage split out of this or not, but maybe that's a conversation we need to have at a later time, is if we move forward with that, where would be the most appropriate place to pull those dollars from, you know? And obviously, general fund, if we're talking about more of the outreach through some of the other areas, I think, like, that's probably more of appropriate in my initial assessment, but I haven't had a chance to give much thought to that.
I guess the fundamental question, funding stream aside, is it a staff-managed process, or is it staff-managed along with consultant, or is it only consultant?
Well, let's go back and I hate to interrupt, but let's go back and think about where we are today and what it took us to get there. And I think when we reached out and brought in someone with some expertise in some areas and got the various stakeholders particularly involved, we came up with a plan and a product that we could sink our teeth in because we had a more global view on what would be the ideal scope of Story County in the future. And I think sometimes when you bring in someone with a high level of expertise in this area, then you take staff out of, you know, their own little silo type of thing. And that, to me, was an excellent result. Now, the question always comes down is where can you save cost in some of these items? But I'm not so hung up right at this point in time about saying that I don't believe that we can keep piling too much on staff if we want to have the end result of the complete strategic planning process in place so that we can look year out, year one through five or whatever. That's just where I'm coming from.
The current county development plan was adopted in 2003.
Yep.
Horizon, but build into it that would be reviewed every 5 years. So we're definitely on our second 10-year review, and I think enough has changed by one removing the Lincoln Highway Corridor study, just different planning or different development trends that have occurred, whether that be economic with the recession or now the coming out of it, the changes in and around Ames and Nevada. The wind turbines were not envisioned at all in the county development plan. That was not even on our horizon when that came forward. That's the fundamental question. Is it time to review it? And I think it is. And if you ask me, staff could do it. I don't know that staff to drive it, given other projects. And
well, I don't know what kind of buy-in you get from our other stakeholders if it is completely staff-driven. Now, I want staff. This is my view. I want staff as involved as
involved
we possibly can,
right,
but not driving it, not viewed as driving it, have it driven by an outside third party. I think it is a, you know, I hope there was awareness. As I recall our conversations, there was awareness that some of these things that we were tackling were going to dictate that we spend some dollars down the road. Well, we're to that point now where it's right. Time to spend dollars to make sure that we're coordinated in how we're moving forward. I think this is one of those times. I think if we can get it done for budgeting 60, it was what I think I heard you say, budgeting 60 in FY15, I think we go ahead and budget that. Now, what I don't see in here is the visioning piece that we've talked about that ISAC has committed to helping fund.
That's this current fiscal year.
We're still talking about doing that this year.
That will be done. That's on the work program starting this afternoon on into May.
Okay.
That'll fall in. We have contractual labor this fiscal year that we'll use for part of that match.
Do we really need so I'm suggesting 60 instead of 150. Is that right?
The economic development.
Sorry. I'll just look at last year's notes. Everything was based on $100 an hour cost. Is that still the same assumption? Because we had 150 in last year too for the same thing. I don't know if it was.
I'm not using any.
Not using any dollar figure like that.
What I'm looking at, I've reached out to people within Council of Governments and said, and that's how I came up with 150. What's a logical expense for a comprehensive plan development from beginning to end if you have a hybrid staff and consultant? And then just from past practices, looking at Squaw Creek Watershed, what we're paying for different elements, came down with the 60 and 40. Yep. The economic development audit and industrial commercial land inventory, I'm proposing that actually be removed from the items and be done yet this fiscal year.
This year.
And I want to talk to Dan Culhane. I think that at least one of them does fit within the scope of our contract with them.
Good.
Okay, we have $80,000 in the current year to do this, from what I can tell. We put $100,000 in a line item in countywide services.
Right, but you're suggesting that the industrial commercial land inventory fits within the scope of our current contract, what we're already spending with the AEDC.
In cooperation with our staff,
okay,
as part of the zoning map audit. We'll be identifying the lands, and then that's where Drew and others would help with the windshield surveys or whatever.
So then what I'd like to see us do, if in fact we're going to go down this road of the $100,000 over two fiscal years, and in my mind right now I'm not breaking out a 60, 40, we can plug it in there however we need to, but I think that's a full-fledged RFP with the full scope of work, what planning and development staff is going to take on, what the responsibilities of the consultant will be, and then let's just see what we get in to start work as of July 1st. Get that RFP out this spring and see what we can get, and maybe we're going to do better, and then it becomes a negotiation of when we're paying for what as to what fiscal year it falls in. Now I'm fine with plugging 60 in as a placeholder for this year, but we may do better than that, all said and done.
Yeah, and we've used the placeholder philosophy in the past, so I think it would be appropriate to have some dollar figure there.
And then the building code feasibility study, this relates to the hazard mitigation plan. I've actually found a couple examples that have been done for $10,000. And I actually gave you a copy of the study methodology that Peoria County did. I haven't been able to hear back from Peoria County how much this cost, because they did had a consultant do this. This would help staff, though. We basically have our methodology determined right now. And then the other plan I found was from Champaign County, Illinois, and that's what cost $10,000. So definitely the $30,000 is way high end, and it would be more of a $10,000.
I'm speaking for me. This is not anything that the board has discussed. I think it's something that the board needs to discuss in a Tuesday morning meeting. Hard for me to spend $30,000 to do a study on something that I know I'll never support, because I'm not going to support it. I don't think it's right for Story County. And I understand it's part of the hazard mitigation plan. I think that the hazard mitigation plan dictates that we have the full conversation of where Story County's headed. I know where I am on that, so it's hard for me to support $30,000. Now, I don't know where you guys are on that. So
I guess we haven't heard enough about it to make a determination. I'm under this. Is this being coordinated through emergency management and other entities and other communities?
The hazard mitigation plan that's been adopted and accepted by FEMA has completing a building. Well, initially had adoption of building code for unincorporated Story County. Right. That was scaled back.
Yeah, we wouldn't support that if
right,
you guys were.
Right, that's right. We didn't.
Okay. exact language, and that be done, and it falls under next fiscal year, the calendar for next fiscal year. And then, so that's built into our work program, and it's just looking at what steps it would take to adopt a building code, what kind of code you would adopt. You know, there's international codes, state building code that are not necessarily one and the same. What kind of staffing requirements would be needed? Would you outsource that? And that's what this Peoria County study methodology has a cost-benefit analysis, too, built into it, which I'm really very appreciative that I was able to find this. That does set the framework for that. And that's why I'm saying that price tag definitely could go from 30 to down to 10,000 at the max if we want someone to come in and help assist staff to do that.
Okay, but
I don't know that
but
staff
a feasibility study for building codes, for building codes for Story County to be feasible, ultimately you're going to have at least two of the three supervisors have to be in support of it. So to me, it starts with a conversation of the supervisors on a Tuesday morning. This is where it is, because it could become unfeasible quickly right there. And so what I'm suggesting is before we publish a budget, we better have that conversation on a Tuesday morning, because putting $30,000 or even $10,000 or $10 in for something, if it's not going to get any traction from this board, is pointless.
Well, going with that, then amending, taking the steps beyond that to amend the hazard mitigation plan and remove it as a strategy, too.
Well, my feeling on that is if the strategy in the hazard mitigation plan is study the feasibility, let's study the feasibility. But I'm saying we don't have to spend any money to study the feasibility until we determine whether there's support from the Board of Supervisors, regardless of what the study looks like.
I'm much more comfortable with a zero in there than.
I'd like to know more about a lot of the components that we're talking about, because my mindset is maybe reaching a little bit more than just building codes. But in the conference that I was in Cedar Rapids earlier on Lynn County through the NACO-sponsored resiliency, one of the things that is coming through loud and clear is that future growth and development, we have got to start looking at structures and how they're built and so forth, particularly when you're in high prone areas such as tornadoes, which we have, flooding and so forth, because the cost to replace that is, if you have a devastation such as a Joplin or whatever, a lot of it can go back to sometimes what's allowable in terms of buildings and so forth. We have not really gone down that path. I know Cedar Rapids is certainly looking at that now as a result of what they've recently gone through. To what degree they're at, I'm not really sure. So I do think that understanding what are the components of this mitigation will be very helpful, but the other question is this something that has to be done within the next budget cycle? Could we take the approach that Rick is suggesting, and if we determine at some point that we need to up that scale a little bit, then we have to figure out a way to put some dollars towards that if that becomes the issue.
How about if we have it on our board agenda sometime before
February 11th? Sometime between now and February 11th, get a little workshop kind of mentality for us on a Tuesday morning, and let's go through and let's have the conversation of pros, cons, impacts. I think Wayne's right. I think it would be great if government could step in and dictate that everything be built to exact specifications. In Story County, I struggle with that, and I want to have the full conversation, but I don't want to put any dollars in this budget until we have that full conversation.
And that'll be an opportunity for me to share some more details. But looming on the horizon is, you all know, the Bigot Waters Act.
Right.
Also, just recently, before the holidays came down, that the feds are looking very favorably on enacting law that if you participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, you have to have a building code.
Right.
Which changes the whole ballgame, because if you are a mapped community, you have to participate in the Flood Insurance Program so that people can have flood insurance. It's just another, it's kind of a...
Yeah, and it would be a game changer if, in fact, the federal government decided to institute that. That said, they haven't.
I think you're
going to see that would be at the federal level. That's another one of those items that they're going to have trouble agreeing on. For us, all I'm suggesting is to spend dollars on something that I don't think we as a board at this point are prepared to say we would support. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So just from a budgetary perspective, I'm saying it's zero until such time as we're educated to the point that at least two of the three of us say, yeah, that's something I'm interested in really fully exploring.
Do you want that to come from planning and development or hand-in-hand with emergency management? Because honestly, the only reason it's in the work program is because it's in the hazard mitigation plan.
My preference would be you drive it because you're the one who's going to be educating us. Keith can be part of that conversation because he's going to give us the rationale for how it ended up in the hazard mitigation plan and what, if any, responsibility we have to fulfill that component of that hazard mitigation plan. Okay?
Well, I'm not going to be so naive to think that when it's all said and done that we aren't going to commit some dollars towards trying to find out a little bit more about where we are as a county and where the holes are and what we really need to do. So I think realistically we need to be prepared that when it's all said and done, there's probably going to be some dollars spent someplace. But when and where, I don't know.
I think that's a good reason to have the conversation right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to zero that out now then.
Go back to the $60,000 you're going to keep in there for the coordinated long-range plan. Do you want to keep it in her budget or do you want to put it in a countywide general fund?
If I had a preference, I'd say countywide general fund, but that's just, we'd have to get a consensus on that.
I think that's an appropriate place to put it.
Yeah, so let's take it out of here and put it in the countywide general fund. Didn't we do that last year with part of the?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, let's do the same thing we did last year.
Our entire budget was under.
Yeah, your entire budget at that point was in the general fund. So.
Okay, so we're taking that full. Are we taking the full 220 out of contractual labor?
Yeah.
All right. And we're plugging 60 in. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My budget's smaller again.
Good. You're doing a good job.
$60,920. That's what column am I looking at?
Leanne, you're doing a great job.
Okay.
She has good help.
She has good help. No question about that.
$920. Two, six,
anything else? Go get the bifocals. Just take the step.
Oh.
You're bringing this to us on a Tuesday morning?
It's not that horrible.
Hey.
When I turn 50, I'll do it.
Hey.
I had to do it.
I'm with you,
Leanne.
Don't get in.
I thought you brought this to
If you don't, it's sooner or later you're gonna have to do it.
Okay.
I've got bifocals, and it's the greatest thing
it'll
ever.
Come to us?
Okay. So, you've already taken action approving it in concept.
Now you're talking about just making some adjustments.
Yes. And we probably need to add a couple more things like the urban renewal area projects, and that was purposefully left off. But
the other conversation that I think this board needs to have with budgetary implications, but budgetary implications on this year, is we need to talk about what, if anything, we're going to do with the smaller communities like we did last spring. Are we going to continue any kind of program like that? That needs to come to us probably right after we get this budget finalized for FY15 and we can get a strong look at where we are for FY14. Second one that I notice is not in here that I'm curious about is we did a pilot project where you guys each took a community.
I don't think
we've seen a report on that yet. And I don't think we have any idea of what, if anything, we're talking about doing in the future.
In February.
Okay.
The report, the survey is finished. It's ready to send out to the three communities.
Okay.
I'm going to give them a couple weeks. It's not a very arduous task for them to respond to. Use that. Where we're leaning is opening it up again on a pilot basis and just having one community. And rather than assigning a planner or staff member to it, you have the resources of the Planning and Development Department for Story County, because we have different levels of expertise and skills we can bring. And looking at a static period of time, maybe May through, I'm just pulling numbers out now. We haven't finished that through. Looking at one more time to see what type of resources, staffing resources, we could provide to the smaller communities. I don't know. We did not walk away with a good sense. I know there were a lot of things that I could have done, but just didn't seem where I said, I can do that. And that was a common theme we heard. So we'll see how the survey results come.
Well, yeah, it was a new territory for a lot of them, too. And then they look at staff and who can help guide it at their level. And then to actually then reach out and say to you, well, we need this, this, and that. I don't think many of them have really thought through, you know, that as much. A few of the communities that maybe had some small economic development projects in line may have thought about, you know, where they could use some technical assistance. But I think countywide, we're going to probably only have a few counties, few cities, municipalities that may have more of a vested interest. But I think your approach to modify that might be a good thing. And that's why the survey might tell us a little bit more. But the fact that we've already reached out and had staff members do that, we can kind of see what we get back. But I don't think we should really be surprised if we don't get a lot of takers. The opportunity has certainly been there. We've made that clear. The surveys should tell us something about where some of the communities are, and then go from there. I mean, you know.
I think it needs to go really hand-in-hand, though, with our communications marketing strategies that is added to our work program, too, because that will be key. Even if they don't need us for planning resources, if I find out about some program, having an opportunity to pass it on to them, and then they can decide, oh, we want to do that, but we don't have the necessary staff to write this grant. Can you assist with that? That's where really improving that. It's going to be continually evolving.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Bring it to us on a Tuesday. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
No cups.
Thanks.